I want to just read in Galatians this morning. I'm thinking this morning about the fruits of the Spirit, and just one of the fruits in particular that I would just like to draw our minds to. And that is gentleness. But I'm just going to read chapter 5, the whole chapter, I think, and might make a few comments throughout, but then to the end, towards the end there, we'll read. Read about the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you would have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if ye bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I had to, when I thought about this verse, 13 and 14, when we were singing that song, that had the line, "Not to the strong is the battle, not to the swift is the race." When we think about a race, you know, we think about winning the race. You know, the fastest person wins, the strongest person wins the battle, and that's the way people strive in those kinds of battles and in those kinds of races. But in this Christian walk, that's not how we strive. We don't try to get one up over our brother. We don't try to win. We don't strive with him to win, like to win whatever, an argument, you know, whatever it might be, like to get there before he does, or just outdo him in some way. And I mean that in a bad way, I guess, outdo him in a bad, contentious way. But but if ye bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. If we're if we don't have that help, this heart to serve each other through love and fulfilling this law, fulfilling all the law, really, in this you shall love your neighbor as yourself, then the other side of that is that we bite and devour one another. And he says if we do that, we should just be careful, because we're just going to consume each other up. Instead of building each other up, we just eat away at each other and we consume each other. So that's not what we want. We want to build each other up. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So those are the works of the flesh. Those are the things that if we are not walking in the Spirit, that will come out of our flesh. These kinds of things. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Its passions and desires. So these passions, like contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, envy. Some of those other works that are named, like adultery and murder, I think are like they're outworkings, or they're like the result of these passions and desires not being not being crucified. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another, conceited, I wrote down a few, just some synonyms of the words like conceited, things like vain, self-admiring, self-centered, proud, egotistic, arrogant, boastful. Let us not become that way. Then it says provoking one another and envying one another. If we're conceited, then we'll be provoking each other and envying each other. And there will be a lot of strife. I'm going to read the first few verses in chapter 6. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. I think, and that's just kind of what I just want us to consider. This is a fruit of the Spirit that we need, I think, is gentleness. Just, if I think about what the opposite of gentleness in dealing with someone who is overtaken here, as it says, in a, restoring someone who's overtaken in a trespass, would just be, what's the opposite of gentleness? Does anybody have any good, I didn't write anything down. Harsh would be a good word, maybe, yeah. Sharp. Rough. Yeah, it says, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And I used to think that we would open ourselves to being tempted if we didn't, restore a person in a spirit of gentleness. But as I was reading this, I was thinking that I think we should, I think it's saying that we should just have some humility about the situation, because we know that we can also be tempted. Like, even if we restore a person in the spirit of gentleness in the right way, we should recognize that we're just like they are, and we can be tempted, and we can fall ourselves. It's quite a contrast there from the being conceited in verse 26 and provoking one another, envying one another. And I don't think the thoughts are separated just because the chapter is separated there. And then the next verse, verse 2, chapter 6, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. There was a that's something that we're called to do. And this week, a brother shared some burdens with me. Actually, a few did, and the one I was just impressed with this thought that if we don't share our burdens, how can we bear each other's burdens? And I think that I'm a person who doesn't share my burdens for other people to share. or yeah, doesn't share them for other people to bear with me as much as I, as would be good for me, I think. This is a, I thought I'd share this maybe. This is an example in the, in a material thing of that might bring out this point. It's a couple of weeks ago. I was needing to find some batteries and solar panels for the bus, and I didn't really know where to go, where to look, what, you know, where to start. Of course, I looked on Google, I checked Marketplace, checked here and there. Nothing seemed to work out. I thought I needed them pretty quickly. I didn't want to order, and just wanted to go somewhere and pick some up. And the thought crossed my mind this morning that I had decided to seek this out, to find some that day. Thought crossed my mind of putting out a text to the brothers on the thread. Does anybody know a good place to, or, you know, can anybody point me in a direction? Where would I find solar panels or batteries? And for some reason, I didn't. I just chose to just try to find them myself. And however I came to that conclusion, I went to a few places. I went to Harbor Freight, looked. I wasn't satisfied with what they had. They didn't really have what I needed. I did end up finding some solar panels that I bought, used ones, at an RV store. But then I thought, well, Napa surely has some good batteries. And I looked there, and they didn't have what I needed. And then I thought, well, I'd just go to Walmart and buy the best battery they have. And I walked into Walmart, and there, right inside the door, I see a brother. And talked to him, and I told him what I was doing, and right away he shared with me something that he had shared with me before. I remembered about, if you ever need these kind of batteries, this is where you should look. And I had just forgotten. You should go to Sam's Club. They have these really nice, really good golf car batteries for this kind of application. And I was like, oh, like I had almost spent the whole day pursuing these batteries, and if I would have just asked, just shared my burden, somebody could have pointed me in the right direction. So, if we have spiritual burdens, I would just want to encourage us all, myself, first of all, to share them. There might be other people who can help us, who know, who've been in that situation and or have this wisdom from somewhere, from somebody. I guess we're talking about spiritual wisdom. It's coming from above, from God, but I was still kind of talking as if talking about material things. So, anyway, I just, that's all I have to share. Just open it up for comments. If anybody has any thoughts on any of this, or if anybody just wants to share their burdens, I'd encourage that too.
Thank you, brother, for exhorting us. A lot of thoughts and emotions get stirred up when you consider those scriptures. Thank you for delivering them patiently, gently. There's a lot of truth in those. I was struck by the thought again. Not a new thought, but just a reminder that against these things there is no law. You can have all the patience, all the kindness, all the long-suffering, all the fruits of the good spirit that you want. Nobody's going to come and tell you that you have too much, I don't believe. Certainly the Word doesn't teach us that there's such a thing as too much. So that's encouraging to me to continue to seek to grow in these areas. I appreciate your exhortation to share our burdens, similar testimony. I think a lot of times we don't do that because we're not sure that others are we don't want to burden others with our sometimes it's predicaments we get ourselves in. I had a situation like that where something had happened and a vehicle had burned and got taken to a tow yard, and they were giving me a certain amount of time to deal with this, or they were going to basically sell it for scrap and get it out of their yard. And we're talking 4 or 5 days after it happened, not a reasonable amount of time at all. And so I ended up reaching out to the brothers that we had in the area, just saying, what, you know, is anybody going to be down there? I didn't that much care about the vehicle, but there were some parts on it that I wanted to keep. And so I thought if somebody was down there, it was 4 or 5 hours away with a trailer, they could surely bring it home. So, no, nobody was down there. That wasn't going to work. But another brother comes and says, hey, have you thought about this? Get a tow company with a storage yard to go pick that up and store it for you until you get there. And it worked. It was the answer I needed. So I'd just like to encourage us as brethren to be helpful to one another in those ways if we possibly can. And as Brother Norman mentioned, be of the courage to share our burdens, and surely through the collective wisdom and love of the body, answers can be reached. And these are material applications, and I think it's even the more so in the spiritual. If we're confused as to what to do next in a spiritual situation, in a relationship situation, let's be open to hearing what others have to contribute. And I do believe that is the way the body would function, and it is a way that we can be of great blessing to one another and fulfill the law of Christ in that way.
Brother Norman, yeah, thank you so much for that. I appreciate that you are so very gentle yourself. Yeah, it's interesting how a lot of these virtues, they all kind of work together when we're not gentle. Well, in fact, one thing I was thinking of was that maybe if we're talking to somebody, whether they're a brother or not, and all of a sudden the person responds strifefully, if I could say it that way, in strife, maybe we need to reflect and check ourselves and really reflect and think, okay, was I being gentle? Because I think the lack of gentleness can ignite those sorts of things. So you got these things are on the side, you can almost say on the left of the flesh versus the things on the right of the spirit. And yeah, a lot of these things, whether it's gentleness, self-control, they're all working together to almost extinguish the fire of the works of the flesh. Self-control, gentleness, and kindness, goodness, doing good, to really squash and mitigate the the things that cause what divisions or dissensions or strife, you know, outbursts of anger. It's just interesting how all these virtues, they're different, and yet they work together. And likewise, the acts of the flesh and stuff. So it's just something I was thinking about. But I had a thought. I was trying to remember when you were speaking that it seemed that, I guess it was, it seems like, I'd love to hear what anybody thought, but it just popped in my head as, Norman, as you were sharing what you're sharing, is that if we have humility working together with, compassion, humility and compassion working together, the natural outcome is gentleness. Just something I was thinking about. But
yeah, thank you, Norman. I just had a quick thought, one of those last verses that you read there, chapter 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness or gentleness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Anyway, I've always thought of that verse, and I think I still do, that whatever this fault is that they're overtaken in, you should approach it in this way, that thing, whatever it is that they're struggling with, will not be a temptation to you. But I wonder, I'm not sure what the scripture means for sure. I'm a little uncertain now as I sit here. But I wonder if part of what it could be is that warning about also being tempted is if we do come in, kind of like Brett was saying, without that spirit of gentleness, it's almost, the chances of it escalating and going ugly are a lot higher. And I wonder, since the scripture just got done warning about the works of the flesh, if that temptation would be going to restore somebody without gentleness and stirring up a big hornet's nest of bad emotion and provoking. Anyway, that was the thought I had.
Amen, Brother Norman. It was a good testimony you gave, and it's always, like the brother said, and Brett and Will and Max, it's an admonition for us all the time. I'm using the King James, so have pity on me, okay? Sorry, Dijon. Okay. Okay, I mean, it says, when you read it, you know, okay, King James, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, okay? And so the other translations, you have meekness. I need Brett to help us with this, meekness and gentleness. And to distinguish between kindness and goodness, that's one in itself. But then when you get between gentleness and meekness is usually self-controlled, right? Beatitude. Norman, Brother Duane will talk about that. But it's just, it's hard. I gentleness to me would be, harmless. Be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. And sowing in kind. But when you read the fruits of the Spirit from your version, what version was it? The New King James is different than the Old King James. And of course, the modern translations would be different. They overlap. You don't know left from right. I mean, which one is they talking about? You know, it's hard to, at least I couldn't figure out my peanut brain which one was there. But love is number one, and love will bind them all together, the bond of perfection. Without love, they all crumble. All right, that's a given, at least. And, okay, Brother Will mentioned wisdom. And if you lack wisdom, you ask. If you want the Spirit, Jesus said, ask, we'll give you the Spirit. And the best of all the things, I think, that God gives, and sometimes you don't even ask for it, but he gives it to you, is forgiveness. Like he did to the man in Mark 2, when they brought him down to the gate, to the roof, and he said, your sins are forgiven. He didn't ask for it. Or the woman in Luke 7, when he said to her, she washed his feet with her hair, your sins are forgiven. And what was another one? Oh, yeah, the Roman soldiers, when they crucified Jesus, he said on the cross, Father, forgive them. They didn't ask for forgiveness. He threw it out. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And for us today, brothers and sisters, he ever lives, Hebrews 7:25, he ever lives to make intercession in forgiveness for us. I know that's not what you're talking about all the way, Brother Norman, but he ever lives to make intercession in forgiveness. And should we never be ashamed of asking or confessing our sins to him, of course, and to each other, because that's why he's there. And don't be proud. And that's those two verses that says, don't be 26, let's not be desirous of vainglory. Yeah, it's all about me, you know, glory. Or provoking one another, comparing one another or getting the worst out of other people, or envying one another. Well, I wish I was you. And, you know, it's those are the sins, the lust of the eye, flesh, and pride of life. But anyway, the Lord be magnified.
Thank you, brother. That was very edifying and something I just have, if I could try to summarize something I've lacked over the years greatly, it's gentleness. And I still do lack. And it's such a blessing to be around other brothers who are more gentle than I am, so I can be convicted and grow and be reminded of my need. And I know it was just an example, physical example, but I just want to testify to the blessing it's been to be here, move here 2,000 miles and just, I'm not, you know, I grew up in the city, I'm not too handy. And anyway, just such a blessing to ask and receive, like, help, like, where do I go for this, or could you give me a hand with this, please? And anyway, it's been very humbling, and just appreciate the bearing one another, not just spiritually, but physically and spiritually. I just sense both combined. It's the body and the soul and the spirit, and just really humbling to have that here. So thank you.
Yeah, let me say something real quick about, as we go through this list of these virtues, these fruits of the Spirit. So I think love is pretty self-evident. What that is, joy, peace. Obviously, peace is the opposite of strife. This word, macrothumia, patience, or long-suffering. Christos, a little bit of an exchange with Brother Duane about a word that's sharing the same root of this. The translate is kindness. Okay. Yeah, I think has an element of that, but I think it's good to understand that the one of the, you guys probably hear me use this word all the time, cognates, one of the brother words or sister words of this same root, kresimos, is the one that Jesus says that it's his yoke is that. I think it's important to know that the root kind of has this idea of usefulness to it. So somehow there is this true relationship where sometimes the word conveys the idea of kindness, but at the same time it's usefulness. So I think Brother Paul is telling us that we need to be useful to each other. The other thing is the next word, if some of you, I know Brother Teo is one of them, sometimes likes to look in the Greek interlinears or whatever. So if you see like this word in this list, agathosune, there's a lot of words with sune at the end. This is something I've spent the last few years really focused on because there's so many of those in Greek. And basically, like in this case, like agathos has to do with, like, it's the word that the quote-unquote rich young ruler came up to Jesus, said, hey, good teacher. They translated it as good. I don't, it has to do with virtuously good, I guess, in a sense. And he says that only God is good. And yet it's the word that has to do with quote unquote good works. Most time, that's not always the word that's used. Certainly the word that Paul uses in Romans 2 verse 6 and 7, where he says those that continue to practice, this word, good works, will enter, God will give eternal life. So, but yeah, when you see, some prefix, like in this case, agathos, goodness, together with sune, agathos sune, or you see dikaios has to do with righteousness or justice, sune, dikaios sune, or eleos has to do with mercy, eleos sune. When you see those in your inner linear, you know, like Brother Teo, some of you, you can know right away that even if they don't translate this way, sune part of it has to do with the practice of that. So it has to do, in this case, the the works of goodness, the works of being virtuous, you know, the virtue of goodness, the thing that the rich young ruler said to Jesus, he didn't say the part with Sune after it, but he said, you know, agathos towards him, and he said, hey, God is good. So, and then pistis, faithfulness, parautes, that word, sometimes in the old King James, they'll translate it as meek, but it really, I think the best modern word for it is gentleness. Like Brother Norman shared today, it's gentleness. So, and then self-control. So I guess that's what I would want to share.
Life is like the sand. Thank you.